Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, at least we know we have one series in the LCS, and we have week number 7 kicking off tonight in the National Football League. Welcome in. This is Bet Sweats with you on a Thursday morning. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, John Murray, our buddy from the Westgate, will be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. Andy Molitor from the Deep Dive podcast and BetSports will be dropping by as well. If you're with us every week, you know Thursdays are super busy. We've got a breakdown of Thursday Night Football in 20 minutes. Later this hour, we're going to go over Survivor, our favorite college football plays of the weekend. We're going to put our 10 toes down and take some stances here on this Thursday morning. Sam is in New York, like the usual plan on Thursday. He's got a chair in his room. Sam, how are you? Damn. Muted? Can't start this way. Or is it the microphone? Oh, it could be one of many things. Bad start. Don't listen to any of our plays today. Whatever we give you over the next 3 hours, you might have to give the hard ignore. You with us now? Now he's here visually. You can watch him on YouTube and Twitch. You just can't hear him on BetMGMNetwork.com. That takes you right to the Odyssey app, the BetMGM Network YouTube and Twitch pages. Make sure you subscribe over there. Follow the show on X as well. Bet_sweats. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are everywhere. We'll try one more time.
Hello.
I hear something. I did hear something.
I don't know. I'm green. My light is green. My mic is green. You got me now?
You're good. You're green. Yes. Because we know Jeff Schwartz will stop by in the room. And he's all about green. He comes in at some point during the show every week and kind of leans over your shoulder and tells you why Oregon's going to cover the point spread. Did he do that? He did that last week, right?
He did.
Ah, damn. Oh, no, this microphone. We can't be dealing with this. Yeah, you're out again, Sam. You're out again. This is not going well this week. Yesterday, it was Caroline Fenton. She had issues to start. Who was it the day before? Was it Felder yesterday as well? Felder had some issues. Not good.
Yeah. What about me? How am I doing now?
You're good. Yeah, okay. You're good.
Great. Hey guys. Yeah, my favorite, since you bring up Jeff, was like, we're just better, and that's fine. It's my favorite part from last week. So, look, they'd be favored again if they played again tomorrow, right? I want to see Jeff pop in again. I don't know if he'll be having the Ducks hockey jersey on, but that is a good look. It's a pretty sweet jersey.
I probably don't have much of an argument against Rutgers this week. Like, I'm not going to take Rutgers. I've heard both sides of it, though. I've heard both sides. So we'll see what he has to say when he hops in. You heard the highlights coming in. We'll get Sam's mic sorted out in a couple of minutes. Don't worry. He'll be here throughout the show. But ALCS, game number 3 last night, I kind of landed on it by the time we got to the end of the show. It's like, yeah, Toronto's the play. I don't think Seattle. You look at that Blue Jays offense and how they were hitting coming into the series. And yes, they struggled, of course, games 1 and 2. You knew they were due for something big. And boy, did you see it. 13-4 over Seattle last night. So the Jays are the dog. Around plus 122, plus 125 is where they close, and they win easily. That game was over. I'm sure many people ended up turning the TVs off. The over get smashed by 10 runs. It closed 7. We get 17 runs in this ball game. Blue Jays go yard 5 times. If you compile the distance of those 5 home runs, it was 2,004 feet in home runs. That's what that Jays offense did. Vladdy Jr., monster game, 4 for 4. Homer, couple doubles, single, a walk. You had Springer. Oh, he was in the room. They called it. They called their shot on Springer, and they were correct. Springer, 3 hits, including a home run in that one. For those all concerned about that matchup against Kirby, 8 runs on 8 hits, giving up 3 homers and only 4 innings of work. Some meaningless homers at the end of the game by Seattle. I guess you could bring that up. I don't know. They weren't high leverage moments. They were against end of the reliever guys that they're not going to need over the next couple of days. So Toronto's big, and Toronto wins big, and it is Seattle 2-1. They go back at it today, game number 4. So the plan today, we're going to have a couple of LCS games. So full day of sports. We've got Thursday night football. Of course, college already kicked off this week, and 2 LCS baseball games. So good day of betting. Good day of betting if you don't have too much planned.
Hello. Good morning. Can you hear me now?
We started there. Yeah, that's how we started last time, but then it went away after about 10 seconds. So we'll see.
I honestly don't think anything is my fault for the first time in my life. I don't know what I've done wrong. I didn't even drink last night. So I know it's not my fault. Everything is hooked up and ready to go.
Really? The dogster said he was trying to make a cologne that smelled like Sammy P.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I forgot what he said it smelled like, but I just said alcohol. That's all you need.
So the second time I tried to talk to you this morning, I was trying to relay the message that Jeff Schwartz will be here today. I was sort of ribbing him yesterday. We went out for tacos. The guy puts down taco. The taco looks like a little race car in his hand, by the way. So we're eating tacos.
Micro machine.
Very small looking taco in his hand. So I said, you know, the guys don't think you're showing up tomorrow. What do you mean? I go, well, you're kind of a front runner. And he's like, what? What do you mean? So I said, yeah, we don't think you're going to show up after that big loss to Indiana. I'll be there. You tell them I'll be there.
They're just better. They're just better. The 3s are better. The 4s are better. Oh, damn. No, you're getting them all revved up, so he's going to be coming in hot at some point during the show. I want to see that. Do you have a bet on Oregon Rutgers? I remember you talking earlier
like
in the week.
The dog, for sure. I'm going to take 17.5. You know how I feel on Thursday. Tuesday for me is a mystery box. Wednesday, I start revving the engine. I wake up Thursday, and my list goes from 6 to 4 in college. I try to do about 4 college bets and then 2 NFL bets because the NFL is just – this year for me, I've had so many dogs that have just collapsed. So I'm trying to whittle that NFL list down and play more college. Rutgers will definitely get my money, especially anything north of 17. Talk about a tough spot, man. You go from playing Penn State, then you play Indiana at home, win of your season against Penn State, you lose against Indiana. Now you got to get back up off the mat, fly across the country, and go to a building with no juice against Rutgers. And it's a sleepy spot. I think it's natural to think that Oregon is just going to roll them over, but this is a horrible, horrible betting spot for the Ducks.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk more about that one when we go over our college football plays. Definitely interested in that. You can still find 17s out there as well. But your takeaway from baseball, ALCS game number 3, Toronto takes it in convincing fashion. Sam, for the first time ever, the first 5 games in the LCS all go to the road team. We actually brought it up to Todd Frazier yesterday on the show. He's like, yeah, I've been in the playoffs 5 times. I like playing on the road. It's so much easier. And then we get a road dog winning once again last night.
Frazier was saying how easy it was to kind of channel the fans out when you're on the road. And he felt that the pressure was always tougher at home, which I guess through 5 games of the LCSs, ding, 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 it was just another power outage too. I mean, everybody homered. I'm sure you guys talked about this in the final stretch of my microphone not working, but even George Springer in the room, pow. Everybody homered except for my guy, Josh Naylor, who I bet to homer. He did not homer, but yeah. Just so much power, high slugging. And look, I thought Shane Bieber was fine. You know, I think a lot of people were thinking that he was going to just get run over and the M's were going to go up 3-0, but now we have a series.
I know you didn't bet him, but your guy Rosarena homered late too. There were 8 guys that homered in the game. 8. Right size, Randy. Wrong shape.
I do love Randy. Randy is my guy. I remember the year we were betting him. Was this 2020? It had to have been, right? When they played the Dodgers and he homered 10 times in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He was unbelievable that year. So I have an affinity for Randy because of that 2020 run to the World Series and that COVID shortened season. I've always liked Randy, but this Blue Jays team, no offense the first 2 games, all the offense in game number 3. Now what do you get? What do you get in game 4? Who knows?
In the playoffs, Vladdy leads the team in homers. RBI, OPS, 4 homers, 10 RBI. His OPS is almost 1,500. So we get a tweet last night from our buddy Mike Shope. I'll talk to him later on his show this afternoon on WGR. And he said, is it too late to jump in on Vladdy Jr. for World Series MVP?
No.
I look during the game, it's 30-1. This morning, it's 20, the best price that you can get. I mean, if the Jays are going to be there, if they win the World Series, I know we talk about it's usually not the star player. It's going to be somebody else. It's hard to imagine it being somebody that's not Guerrero Jr., right?
I don't know that it's hard to imagine.
Could be Springer.
He's their heartbeat. He's their soul. He's their best player. I know it's not always the best player, as we've chronicled for the last 2 or 3 weeks or so. I mean, Steve Pierce won World Series MVP for the Red Sox in 2018, and I don't think anybody could pick Steve Pierce out of a league.
Yeah, Sam's breaking up there. He's right. It's certainly fair, but one thing that we have learned is as we study this and just see what happens, call it a trend, whatever, it's usually a position player. Once in a great while, it's going to be a pitcher. But it's usually a position player in the top 5. And that's why we were grabbing some big numbers on specific Dodgers earlier on before the playoffs got going, like Muncy or Teoscar, who's hitting third right now and just killing it. We grabbed him at 101. Muncy at 101. Hit a homer the other day. Hadn't done much throughout the playoffs. Grab those big numbers. Look at guys hitting in the top 5. But, yeah. Vladdy Jr., he's had a monster playoffs. He had a monster game last night. Was doing nothing in that series going into that game, but it was big last night. So we have 2 games today. The first one, we're going to go LCS. We're going to go NLCS, I should say. And the Dodgers are home. After taking a 2-0 lead, it is the Dodgers, a massive favorite. $1.90 favorites. You got Glasnow on the bump. Total 7.5. Total exactly the same for both these games. Milwaukee, desperate spot. They didn't make an official announcement on a starting pitcher, but everybody knows they're going to be leaning on Quintana in this game to at least go a few innings. Yeah, officially it still says undecided for Milwaukee. Now, I don't know that Quintana is going to be out there for the first inning. They've done this before where you go with an opener, but it's probably going to be Quintana. They did it in the Cubs series too, where they would open with somebody else, and then they go heavy with Mizorowski. But no official announcement. It's expected to be Quintana for the most part and Glasnow going for the Dodgers. In game 4, it is going to be Shohei Ohtani. So the Dodgers are probably going to end up a $2 favorite in that one. And then in the nightcap, where Toronto is showing some life, Seattle up 2-1, much closer. It's Seattle. We got a home favorite in both games. Seattle minus 125 on the money line, same total. Scherzer for Toronto, Castillo for Seattle there. So that one expected to be much closer. Paul, I'm guessing this run of road teams stops at some point today, but I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if Milwaukee were to steal a game, kind of like the Phillies did in game 3 last time.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm never laying $2, but
no,
I don't know. You throw Quintana in there against that lineup. It just seems like, you know, he's ripe for the picking. And then the other one, I mean, the Jays showed some life. Like, what are we getting from Scherzer? Jake, you talked about this a little bit yesterday, if you want to chime in real quick. But, like, is this an over spot with him out there? Was my first thought.
You not just already chasing last night. Because we haven't seen Scherzer in like a month, you know the room is going to be on Scherzer unders. Outs recorded, strikeouts.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like Seattle, Cal Raleigh home run. I'm going to call it right. I'm going to call my shot right now that the room is going to have Scherzer under outs, under strikeouts, and a Raleigh home run tomorrow. And that kind of makes me want to take the Blue Jays.
Turn back the clock game.
Oh, man. I was thinking that the room will be all over home runs. They saw 8 home runs in that game last night. The total 7.5, over, which makes me want to go under in that game. We'll talk about the LCS matchups later on. Thursday night football, we'll break that down next. Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe O, Sammy P, Thursday night football. We're getting you set for that. You heard from Aaron Rodgers right there. They're calling it the Icy Hot Bowl with the Steelers at the Bengals. Actually, Cam Hayward started that, and now everybody's run with it. So it's good stuff there. Joe O, Sammy P, we are live on X this hour. Do have Sam, don't worry if you're with us in the first segment. We are live on X, bet_sweats. Find the link over there. I'm there at Joe Ostrowski, Sam at SP Shoot. We've got a sizable point spread that we are going to break down between the Steelers and the Bengals. That's gone up a little bit. The total's been climbing this week. Go for the end zone without breaking a sweat with a Pro Football No Sweat token. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets if you don't win at BetMGM. Hey, Sam.
Joe Flacco first touchdown. Let's go.
I looked it up this morning. It's 101. I know that because I looked.
I know. So did I. I'm like, what are the odds of old man Flacco to just fall over the goal line and score first? These are the things we think about, right?
Yeah. Yep. When's the last time that happened? Did you go that far? I thought about that for a second. I'm like, I kind of don't want to know because then I'm definitely not going to bet it when I look up and see the last time that he had a rushing touchdown.
He's due.
Through factor. It's good. It's good. I like it. The number is 5.5, total 44. It opened 42 and a hook. That's been climbing. The side early in the week, it went up about a point. All right. So these last couple Thursday matchups, wonky results, right? We had the Giants taking out the Eagles handily, 34-17. And then the one that frustrated a lot of people a couple of weeks ago, including yours truly, with the survivor results, you had San Francisco taking out the Rams. The Rams were an 8.5-point favorite. The Eagles were a 7.5-point favorite. Both of those heavy favorites go down, and it's a sizable point spread here. 5.5, not quite a touchdown, but you're kind of knocking in that territory, probably as high as you're going to see a Steelers-Bengals AFC North matchup go. Anything that first stands out when we talk side total?
Side total, I lean to the dog because of the weaponry. You have so many options for Flacco to go to. And I think Flacco's always been pretty efficient at getting the ball where it needs to go. Flacco's also been relatively solid so far at least protecting the football. That's something that Jake Browning just didn't do. So I feel a little bit more confident even though Flacco's up there in age, I feel fine about him dispersing the ball properly. So I do lean to the dog. No feel on the total. And then for a player prop, look, Chase Brown's stock is in the gutter right now. And I'm not saying like Chase Brown is going to reinvent the wheel and, you know, rejuvenate his season all of a sudden. But when we talk about the numbers of Chase Brown, look at his rushing prop, man. 44.5. That's it. Mm-hmm. Are we really expecting this phase out to go full throttle? I know the touches were almost split last week. But if they give him another run against a Steelers defense that's very overrated, could this be the jump on point for Chase Brown? I'm asking myself that rhetorically. The numbers for him coming into the season were in the high 60s, low 70s. And now we're 44.5. And I could just never go under that number because it's cratered so low.
The defense looked a lot better for the Steelers last week. I'll say that. And it's probably based on health. They go on bye, they get healthier, then all of a sudden the secondary comes back to life and they take care of Cleveland. Now it was Cleveland on the other side. You had a rookie quarterback in just his second start. That's a big ask out of that rookie. What'd they do? They sacked him 6 times. They hit him 16 times. Like, it was ridiculous. The kid had absolutely no chance, and you would expect that. So it was a get-right game for the Steelers defense. So is this going to carry over into this game? You're going against a weak offensive line. Like, if you look at pass rush win rate, Steelers are number 2 in the NFL, and we know every year that the Bengals have one of the worst offensive lines. That's what scares me a little bit if you're going to back the dog here. But, you know, a lot of people are looking at that. That's why we get to 5.5. I don't like betting Tomlin when he's laying 5.5. I know they covered last week against Cleveland. It was probably a good spot. I steered clear of the game entirely, but I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in doing that. So leaning to the dog, yeah, probably a little bit more than a lean for me. I don't know that it's one of my favorite plays of the entire week, but I'll probably be on the Bengals plus 5.5. We'll see if there's any momentum on this number. If we can get 6, I'm not sure that we will be able to. These upsets are fresh in people's minds that we've been seeing. We've also seen in these night games this year, if we want to go down Trend Street, dogs, 15-7 against the spread at night. Is there something to it? I don't know. Sometimes I think there is, because a lot of times when you're in that primetime spot, you know everybody's watching the team that is called the big underdog, told they have no chance of winning. You get some life. You get something out of that team. You get their best effort. And that's what we've been seeing so far this year. Nighttime dogs, 15-7 against the spread. Sam, they have a winning record straight up. They're 12-9-1 straight up. So there's another reason. And you got to get to the Flacco part. I think that's a sizable upgrade. What we saw out of Browning was a huge disappointment. Huge disappointment for the Bengals. It was not what we were expecting, because the last time we saw Browning an extended time due to a Burrow injury, he was fine. He was below average. He was okay, good enough to get by. Well, he wasn't this time around. And now you go to Flacco, and I'm trying not to go too far after one game. Terrible first half. Awful, man. They had 3-3 and outs. They had 1 first down in the first half. Then they come out getting a little bit of experience with his brand new team, doesn't know the playbook that much. And then he throws for 179 yards. You see a connection there with Ja'Marr Chase. Trying not to overreact to that second half, but I tend to believe the second half a little bit more than the first half. So that's another reason that I'm looking Bengals tonight.
And see, you brought up the Steelers defense, and maybe it's getting better. I'd like to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think taking on a Browns team that had just played in London and then comes back across, bad spot, on the road again, young quarterback. I think a lot of things were working against the Browns in that spot. And we also talked to some bookmakers throughout the week who said, oh, the Sharps were laying Pittsburgh. They were laying 4, 4.5, 5, 5.5. And that game got to 6, and the Steelers were pretty much in control the whole way. I got this weird feeling about Flacco tonight. I know that we're not supposed to bet based on vibes. We're supposed to believe in numbers and power ratings and spots and situations and all that. I ask you this. Do you think it's more likely the Steelers win by 10 or the Bengals win outright tonight?
Bengals outright.
Exactly. That's how I feel. This is not a spot I'm laying on the road with Rodgers, who's been very pedestrian. I think a lot of Steelers fans are having fun when he's throwing touchdowns. But if you look at the games he's been in so far in Pittsburgh, he's been pretty average. There are some highlight throws and some big plays. But for four quarters, this is not the Aaron Rodgers of old. It's just not the same guy.
Here's the Flacco prop I was taking a look at. Attempts, 36.5. Different team with some of this. But we did see it last week as well. We've seen Flacco have 45 attempts in games three times already. He's been averaging 41 attempts per game. Now, game script's going to be part of it. Do the Steelers go up? I love the attempts. Love the attempts. The attempts is at 36.5. As he's been averaging 41, he's at 45 three times. A lot of this is going to be on the game script. I think Flacco just wants to fire, man. And it's going to be quick passes. He knows he has a bad offensive line, so he's going to have to get rid of it immediately. But he had 30 passes in the second half last week. I think we're going to see more of that.
I would agree. I like 5.5, and I'm going to go back to Chase Brown. I may be on an island here. I tried to, like, bring you with me, Joe, and it's fine. Mm-hmm. I will float that way by myself. Somebody offered me a fantasy trade.
Okay.
They offered me Chase Brown. And when you have fantasy owners giving up on somebody, I think that's sort of a good time that it's probably not a bad idea to buy some stock. I did turn the trade down, for the record, because this person wanted Tet McMillan. And I said,
I was going to say, well, then they shouldn't be asking for much. That's ridiculous. Tet McMillan.
Tet McMillan for Chase Brown. Deny. Nope. Ain't happening. But I did see that trade request come across, and I went, oh, he's going to go off now. And maybe that's not the easiest way to get from point A to point B, but from a number standpoint, I repeat, his rushing prop tonight is 44.5, and that is 25 yards lower than it was in week number one. If you're going to buy a dip, this is the time on Chase Brown.
I'd love to hear from some people. What's the worst trade offer you've received this year? I'm not even doing fantasy, but I think they're funny, because yesterday we're driving around and my son goes, oh, look, I got a trade request. I'm like, what is it? It was, he has Rico Dowdle. Somebody was asking for Dowdle for Pacheco and some bum. I was just like, get out of my face with that. Don't just give the no. You need a comment. Hey, come talk to me when you're serious, you bum. Like, get out of here with that. So stupid.
The trade requests are very dumb. Very dumb, no doubt.
I love it when people think, oh, you know what? I think this guy's completely brain dead. Like, I'll fool him. He won't even bother looking at the stats or looking at anything like that. He'll just say yes. I'm like, it never works, you morons. What are we doing here?
To be fair, my team stinks this year, and it's been ravaged by injuries. Not that anybody wants to talk too in-depth about anybody's fantasy team, but Gerch actually sent me a very funny text yesterday about, you know, I keep giving up a bunch of points in fantasy, and the text says, well, tell your defense to just play better. And you're like, that's pretty funny, even though it has nothing to do with that. But I think people in my league think that I'm waving the white flag. I'm not. I still have I'm only two games back of a playoff spot right now, so I'm not going to wave the white flag and start trading Tet McMillan for Chase Brown. That said, I think there's a lot of fundamental thoughts in that process, because Chase Brown was this person's third-round pick. Took him in the third round. Now, that's probably a reach, and I think Gerch would agree. Chase Brown was mostly going at the end of the fourth round or early in the fifth round, but when fantasy owners and bettors start giving up on a player,
yeah,
that generally feels like a good time to buy a little bit of stock. Again, I'm not going to bet Chase Brown to win the offensive player of the year, but 45 yards, that's it. That is such a low number for RB1 these days.
For sure. I understand your standpoint there. All right. You can tweet us bet_sweats. Here's one from Pete, and it's worth noting. Pete's handle is @MoonMadness57.
Moon.
Love it. Bengals are going to cover, and my analysis is that Thursday night games are unpredictable, but neither team is prepared, so take the home underdog. Sometimes that's all it takes. I understand where you're coming from. We're on the same page as far as the Bengals. All right, so you're looking at Chase Brown buying low. I was looking at, maybe it's a buy low spot. Maybe you'll be surprised by the number. I felt like there's a connection there between Flacco and Chase. And maybe Chase. It's just Flacco being smart. Like, hey, this is the best dude on the field. I better keep targeting this guy. And when he was successful in the second half, did you see that touchdown catch? He was completely blanketed. He just like got sort of one of his hands kind of free, and he was able to corral that. Just Flacco put it in a great spot. I was a little surprised to see that his yardage is 73.5 with Flacco. I like that. The touchdown is +145. These are not Chase numbers. These are not Chase Flacco numbers. It feels like these numbers are made off of averages and thinking that Jake Browning is still under center.
Browning is so bad, man.
Yeah.
I was watching this film study. There's a lot of guys now that do the YouTube film study, and the guy watching the Browning film just starts laughing during the film study. Like, Browning throws a ball into triple coverage, and it gets picked off, and the guy just starts laughing. And the one thing about Flacco, he's always thrown a really pretty deep ball, which either the receiver can go up and get, or the D gets all over the receiver and we get a flag. I'm feeling Flacco tonight, man. I am.
I like it. Might have to do some money line. Like you said, money line probably more likely than the Steelers winning by double digits. All right, we'll continue here on the NFL. Survivor picks for this week. We'll help you out with week 7 on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I know one thing. There's no chance I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight with any of my slots in Thursday Night Football. Joe O, Sammy P, thanks for hanging out. If you're watching us on X, we are here weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, BetMGM Network, BetMGMNetwork.com. That takes you to the Odyssey app, or you can always watch YouTube and Twitch. The BetMGM Network page, make sure you subscribe. Our YouTube videos have been popping. We had an early look on Survivor early in the week that we posted that a lot of people have been checking out, and we want to revisit it, give our official stances on where we are in Survivor this week for week 7. All right, Sam, there are three games that are north of a touchdown on the point spread. Three games. That is not where I want to start. I want to start with the others. Like, if you're going somewhere else, because I found myself going through this list, I'm like, No. It took me a while until I found a game that I like for Survivor that is not less than a touchdown. I'm going to throw these games at you. Kind of rapid fire, quick thoughts. 6.5, Green Bay at Arizona, yes or no?
Who's playing quarterback for Arizona?
I'm guessing Brissett, but I have no idea right now.
If it's Brissett, I'm out. If it's Kyler, Green Bay.
Ooh, okay. I'm off that game. I want to take Green Bay at home. I think there are enough other options. Are you with me? Thursday Night Football, division matchup, Flacco the dog, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Pass.
Yep, agree. Monday Night Football. Detroit 5.5 against Baker and the Bucks.
I talked to John Murray last night. We'll talk to him again today. They are expecting the public to be all over the dog there.
Yep. But would you take Detroit in Survivor? I wouldn't. I just don't want to go against Baker when I don't have to.
I think you want to save Detroit because that's a Thanksgiving team and just see what happens. I mean, look, Thanksgiving is a ways away. There could be, you know, copious injuries on the other side on Green Bay. Isn't that the game, Detroit-Green Bay on Thanksgiving? I know people always want to save teams for Thanksgiving, and then you get to Thanksgiving and, oh, three of the quarterbacks are hurt. So, again, I'm not good at Survivor. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But I think Detroit is a team that you may want to just pocket just in case things go south for Green Bay.
I'll probably bet Detroit this week. There's no chance I'm taking them in Survivor, if that makes any sense. A third game with a point spread of 5.5, Chicago 5.5 against New Orleans.
I don't think the Saints are going to win, so that means the Saints are going to win.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, if I had to. The argument for Chicago is, when else are you going to take them? They're a team that's maybe in the middle, and I don't know that there are any other spots. The other one that stands out is week 15 against Cleveland. That's a possibility, but outside of that, there are no other spots to take Chicago. Okay, so I have not said yes on any point spread that is under a touchdown. I go to 3.5 Seattle. No. I go to Rams -3 against Jacksonville in London. No. I finally found one. If you're looking to like gain some ground maybe, or you think it's going to be a crazy week, or you have multiple spots, I was looking at Cleveland against Miami.
Oh, man. See, now you're thinking like I think. This is why I get knocked out by October every year. There's so many big numbers on the board, and you find a game line 2, right? You're like, oh, that's a good spot. See, if I was still alive, which I'll never make it far in Survivor, I have to defer to other people, as I've learned over the years. If you were looking to gamble on Survivor, Philly at Minnesota.
Oh, no way.
What do you mean, no way? Oh, yo, but Carolina or Cleveland?
Because Minnesota's winning. That's why.
I don't think so, man. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's interesting.
Very funny that you give me Cleveland, and then I say Philly, and you go, no way.
No way. I'm out on them.
Got it.
But the majority, if not all of my Survivor spots, are going to be focused at the very top for good reason. There's a reason that these are the highest point spreads. The number one point spread of the week is Kansas City -13 against Vegas. It is a divisional matchup. You do have future value. Week 16, the Chiefs play at Tennessee. Week 18, they play Vegas again, that time on the road. Vegas at home. I guess if there's any pause, the one thing that you would point out is the Raiders have won outright twice in recent years as 11-point dogs against the Chiefs. But they play twice every year. But we have seen it a couple of times where the Raiders get it done. I don't think this is the group to get it done, Sam. I mean, how many? Geno has 10 INTs already this year. Come on.
You've got 13 bullets left. How many are you going to use on KC?
All right. I've got KC used in some of them. 3, 4, 5. I've used KC in 5.
Right? Isn't couples 2, few is 3, some is 4?
Yeah. So I've got KC available in an 8. I'd say most of them I'll have KC because I've used them.
And then New England in a handful as well?
New England. So for me, Denver, I only have them available in 1 out of 13. So they're not really much of an option against the Giants. I mean, this is where I'm focusing. So Kansas City, the reason is obvious. New England, I like New England a lot. And we're just asking them to win the Vrabel game. Are you concerned at all that it is the Patriots' third straight road game?
No, their focus and their intensity in this game is going to be so high because if there's one thing we've learned about this crew, they love their coach. And that's a big deal in this league. You could tell early, maybe not early because the Patriots won week one last year against the Bengals, but you could tell mid-October that they were already tooting out Jerod Mayo. You could just tell. It was like, what does this guy know? What is he doing? This energy around Vrabel, it feels so real. And you know that he's been waiting all season for this game. Now, some would say they're pedestaling the wrong game against the wrong team, and maybe that could backfire. Do we really think the Titans are going to beat the Patriots? I don't. But look, Drake May, it's very rare that a second-year quarterback gets better game after game after game after game and doesn't have a dud. Like, there's going to be a Drake May dud eventually. It just doesn't feel like this is a good spot for it to happen.
I agree with everything you said. I've also heard people say, well, are you sure you want to use New England here? Because next week is tougher, and next week New England gets Cleveland. You're right. To your point about a Drake May dud coming, if I could say that fast, isn't next week the spot? You just finished three road games, emotional game this week, tough defense in Cleveland. I think that would be the spot that trips you up if you save New England for Cleveland next week.
They're going to lose eventually. Yeah. I think it's crazy to think the Patriots are going to go 12-5 or 13-4. Maybe they do and prove me wrong, but I told you about my buddy who's a big Titans guy. He bet the look-ahead number when it was New England minus 6. This is 10 days ago, 11 days ago. And then the Titans fired Callahan. And he texted me, I'm getting off the game. And I said, why? And he said, it's just a lot different now. And that's just one person's opinion. But he was saying New England was going to win by 30 with Vrabel against Callahan. And then Callahan gets the boot, and he's not trying to bet the game anymore. I thought that was interesting, but maybe there's something there. I don't know.
Mike McCoy, I ain't scared. Give me Vrabel. Give me Vrabel with that revenge. Yeah, I know you
do. I agree.
I know.
It's not like Vrabel's mad at Callahan. He's mad at the franchise.
Yes, yes. So we know Evan Abrams does great work, and I was curious what he had on fired coach bumps. And so I took a look. And he said in the last 20 years, what you typically see is, okay, with the old coach, those teams that fire in season, they're 36% ATS. With the new coach, the quote bump is 48% ATS. So, yeah, it's a little better sometimes, and it's a little bit less than a coin flip. So that's not something that's going to make me get off the game. Look, Callahan was fired because Cam Ward couldn't stop turning the ball over. That's part of the reason. He had three more turnovers last week. Is it Callahan's fault that he lost two fumbles? He's an awful coach. Couldn't cover the spread to save his life. 419 ATS. But a lot of it was because they didn't like the direction of the rookie quarterback or lack of development that we were seeing. So I'm not scared. Mike McCoy, this guy hasn't done it in like 10 years, man. I'm fine. I'm not aborting mission. So Kansas City, New England, like our first look early this week. So check that out. We're going to always post that on YouTube, and we'll make sure we get it in the show at some point. But we'll have a first look, and then we break it down on Thursday. And I'm still there, Sam. I'm still in the same spot. I'm going KC, New England. For those that have Denver, do you agree with that? Are you scared of that? The Giants have played better. You're going to a tough road environment with a rookie quarterback in Dart. And, you know, the Giants have a little bit of momentum here. Dart's 2-1 as a starter.
I don't really like the concussion boys, though, on the road at Denver. I don't think it's a great spot for them. It's been a really fun shift from Russell Wilson and Tracy to Dart and Scadaboo. But this defense is so legit. I just have my concerns. I think Benito and company are going to be very fine. Sertan's going to lock down whoever their number one receiver is. We know they're shorthanded at wide receiver because of the injuries. I think Denver's going to win. I mean, that's not a hot take. Let me give you the projections from Survivor Atlas. Very strong account on X. New England, 32%. Kansas City 26, Chicago 16.
Wow. New England most popular. Chicago. No, that's abort mission. No chance.
Good, better, best. Good, better, best.
Can't wait for the Saints to win with Rattler at Soldier Field. Joe O, Sammy P, Andy Molitor on the other side, the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.